We talked about the Korban Todah, the Thanksgiving sacrifice. The Medrash tells us, in the future, all Korbanos are going to be nullified except for the Korban Todah, the Thanksgiving Korban. Because the Medrash says there is always need to thank the Rabboni Shalom. Rav Hutner Zitzel says there is no coincidence whatsoever that the word, as we say, modim, anachnu lach, we thank you, Hashem, and the word for admission, hoida'ah, is the same. We say, hoida'as baldin kemeya edim dami. If someone admits in front of Beis Din that the other guy is correct, it's as if you've got 100 witnesses there. Rav Hutner says that we are unable to give thanks unless we realize that which we received, we needed. You cannot be grateful for someone for doing something unless you admit you needed what the person did for you. Or nothing else, at least you truly appreciate, you feel enhanced by it, and you therefore admit to yourself, I am not an all-powerful being. I cannot do all things. I cannot give myself all that I need or even right or want, which is a bigger subset of items. And he says, you can look at the pasuk where the verb is haidah, and you can determine based on the context of the sentence structure, what verb we're talking about. Are we admitting or are we thanking? We know that modim anachnu lach is where we in Shmona Esrei thank the Rabbono Shel Olam for many things. We thank Hashem and we are admitting simultaneously that we are dependent on Him. We say, right? Al chayenu, then al nishmasenu hapkudos lach, our souls which you, Hashem, guard. The al nisacha, and all your daily miracles, shebachol yoim, eis erev avayker etzorayim, that you do morning, noon, and night. So we're admitting, we're thanking, and we're saying this great category of items only came from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says it begins with admission, and the last bracha, right? I guess in the Chol Chayim, the Mishnah, Baruch Kel HaHoidais, is, right, we admit. And the rabbi, this is one of the favorite points that Vlerfeld points out. We know that in Modim, we have Modim Derabbana. The Chazan gets to Ritzei, finishes the bracha, and then he says, Ritzei, right? And we say, Modim Derabbanan. And the question is, we know that the whole reason for the repetition of Shmona Esrei, Mazoras Hashatz, is to basically, Yotzi, to make people who can't daven otherwise, right, they listen and they have the mitzvah of having said the Amidah. But with Modim, the Chazan doesn't work. And as my friend points out, and my Lagerfeld says, you can't have an agent to say thank you. The notion of thanking is a personal responsibility. The Avudram says that when we say, heal us, bless us with a good year, etc., right? We can be yotzeh by the shliach tzibur, by the chazan saying it. But the requirement to say thanks has got to be something personally felt and personally experienced. Rabbi Friend quotes from a sefer, Tiferes Torah, by her Rav Shimshon David Pinchas Tzitzal, who was tragically killed, right, in a car accident. And he said he was writing this in honor of his yard site. He says, the Shloha Kodesh says in the name of Rav Moshe Cordovero that he once heard from an elderly Jew that an effective skula for removing forbidden thoughts from one's mind is to repeat the following pasuk and over. The fire on the altar will be kept burning on it. It should not be extinguished. That's the part, right? In Vayikra Vavav. The Shalosh says he is sure that the elderly Jew was none other than Eliyahu HaNavi, who spoke to Rav Moshe Cordovero. But, he said, Rav Moshe Cordovero was such an amazing tzaddik, he would never ever admit that he had conversations with Eliyahu HaNavi. And the question is, this pasuk, which talks about the perpetual fire on the Mizbeach, how does this take away, how does it prevent, as he says, forbidden thoughts? Rav Pinchas draws a comment by Rabbeinu Bachya on the Parsha. Rabbeinu Bachya says, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, let your feet be scarce in your friend's home, lest he be satiated with you and come to hate you. Right? Familiarity breeds, right? The feeling that you don't want someone around. One should make himself scarce, it says, in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning he should not have the requirement to make frequent visits to bring a sin offering and a guilt offering. Don't do that, he says. You want to bring an oila, which is totally given voluntarily to the Rabbona Shalom. You can do that as frequently as you like. He quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, I will enter your home, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with olos, and I will fulfill my vows. Rabbeinu Bachya says, the difference between a sin offering and an ola. The sin offering comes from the unintentional violation of prohibited actions. I'm not supposed to shave with a razor on a certain spot. I used it somewhere else where I could, and it slipped. All right. I bring a korban. An ola, he says, atones for improper thoughts. Improper thoughts, Rabbeinu Bachya explains, is something that we can't escape from. We don't control at all times the items that occupy our brainwaves. And he says, human nature and the nature of the world is that at night, when we're not burdened with working, right, and other things, and when we're letting down, we're more prone, he says, to have these types of thoughts. And he said that's the reason why the Ola was brought, the blood was brought during the day, and it was actually burnt all night long. We're told that the sacrifices which could not be burned during the day were continually burnt during the night on the Mizbeach. He says nighttime is the time when we need protection from this problem. And he says, Hashem said, give the commandment to Aaron and his sons. This is the law of the Ola. It is the burnt offering that stays on the flame on the altar all night long until morning. And the fire of the altar should be kept aflame on it. Eliyahu HaNavi was saying to Rav Moshe Cardavero that the skula for avoiding improper thoughts is saying this pasuk. Just as we say that one who says psukim today, it says in the Shalma Purim Sifaseinu, when we say korbanos, when we say daven the korbanos, we're replacing the sacrifices. He says this will be considered as if we in fact had burnt the appropriate segula offering. Then my friend in the same essay turns to another subject, and he talks about matzah being twofold. The bread of affliction, the bread of redemption. And he points out, and you can see it from the construction of the Seder, the reasons for eating matzah are paradoxical. On the one hand, matzah is lechem oini, the bread of affliction that our fathers ate while slaves in Mitzrayim. They didn't have time. They weren't given time to let their dough rise, and so all they could have were matzahs. They baked it. On the other hand, we were told that we have to eat the Korban Pesach a matzah sumrorim yoichluhu. We have to eat the Korban together with matzos and moror. This was a celebratory feast of the redemption. The Ramban points out this dual nature. It can be simultaneously a symbol for enslavement and for redemption. He says, imagine a slave says, working for Paro, I wish I had a soft piece of bread. He said they might have been salivating over white bread, which the Egyptians were eating. So maybe bread would have been an appropriate symbol of redemption. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. The same matzah that you ate as an eved, a slave, you now eat to express your freedom. The message, he says, is that to be a free person, we don't need materiality. If we need white bread, right, we are not free. He says, the need for physical pleasure, of soft bread leaves you again basically in a weaker position. You can enjoy it, but you shouldn't need it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu emphasized that chayrus, freedom, is not hooked up in externals. It is a phenomena of our individual awareness of where we are and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has deemed our time to be. I can eat the same piece of matzah now that I ate when I was getting lashes, and I can say, ah, I'm a free man. A friend of his once said, I want to ask the following question, and he posed it to a group of teenagers. What would you be happier with? Would you rather be poor and happy or rich and miserable? The unanimous response was, I'll take richness and being miserable, unhappy. They didn't understand, Rabbi Friend says. They couldn't comprehend how they could possibly ever be unhappy if they had external riches. He says, the truth is that the less one needs, one has an internal happiness. And that's why the matzah was to teach this lesson. He says, Sukkot is called the man simchaseinu, the time of our joy. And where do we dwell on Sukkot? In the sukkah, in the hut. We're not in our lavish homes, right? And the other thing is, the very special korban of Sukkot was the nisuch hamayim, right? The pouring of the water. They had the simchas beis hasho'eva. It wasn't champagne, right? It wasn't the best of anything. It was water. He says, an individual, a yid, has to know that we can be happy in the flimsy sukkah. We should realize that the wine libations, when required, are good. But if God says the water is there, the water is equally good. We don't need all the comforts of home all the time. We can subsist in a sukkah. He says, we have a tefillah after Birchas Kohanim, after the Kohanim's bracha on Yontiv. May it be your will that you give me and all the souls of my home our food and sustenance, generously and not sparsely. From beneath your generous hand, just as you gave a portion of bread to eat and clothing to wear to Yaakov Avinu, our forefather. He says, there seems to be something wrong with this villa. He says, we've just asked for generous sustenance. And what is the generous sustenance in having decent clothing and just bread? Why didn't we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would you please give us everything you gave Shlomo Melech, the richest man in his time, one of the richest ever? He says, Yaakov was 100% satisfied with whatever he had. When Esav said to him, I have much, Yaakov said, Yesh li kol, I got everything I ever need. I got it from God. I don't need anything else. He says, the golden, right? The golden spoon. The unlimited wealth, right? Is not which something which guarantees happiness. It's only, as we say in Pirkei Avos, Mihu Ashir Hasameach Bechelko. We can only feel rich if we're happy with what the Rabbono Shel Olam lets us have. If we can enjoy the life God has given to us. Weep Davin, that we should have the same appreciation, the same mindset as Yaakov Avinu. That we don't need extra special items. We can be happy with whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu deems it we should have. And that's why the matzah could be both something in our misery and in our joy. Look at one more aspect of Pesach. The OU daily comes up with a halacha question. And yesterday's was the one that's often asked, what's this notion of gebrucht? Matzah dipped in water and those who don't eat it. He says the Shulchan Aruch rules that flour made from roasted wheat kernels cannot be mixed with water on Pesach. Even though the wheat had been fully roasted and should not be able to become chametz, we are concerned that there may be certain kernels, certain parts on the matzah that could become chametz. And when the water goes on it, that's what will be the leavening agent. He says the same thing, and that might be in the oven or whatever. The same concern is when we have matzah, he says, with flour on the surface. He said, we're not allowed to mix that matzah with water where you've got flour, right? Because the flour may not be fully baked and could be susceptible to chametz. However, there are two customs in this regard. There are those who are truly afraid of this, and that's why, for example, I think Hasidim generally, they do not mix it in. Other poskim say, we don't have to go to this level of fear. They say there's another mitzvah that we are required to honor, which is the mitzvah of Simchas Yontov. And it's much more enjoyable having matzah brei than not. All right? Matzah that's mixed with water or with other type of liquids creates something nice and you enjoy it. And so he says, whichever way we turn, whether we decide we want the extra chumrah, we want to stay away from any possible chametz, or whether we want to take the approach that there are great tzaddikim who allow us to use it, we should all just do it with the best of intentions. And as he finishes off, we should all be just zroi, we should all be blessed with a chag pasher v'sameach and the gula shalema b'mheira b'yameinu. Okay.
Amen.
We're going to pick up. Tomorrow I'm going to look at some other Pesach stuff, and then we'll be on hiatus. Have a lovely day.
Okay.
Shkoyach.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom, Gary.
I'm coming back the Tuesday after Pesach.
Okay.
I'll give shiur on the Tuesday. Okay?
Okay, so I'll see you tomorrow.
Be
I'll
well.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Okay, so tomorrow's the last show. The rabbi said he wanted to go to Thursday. What happened?